The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I thank you, Pastor, for the privilege of being with you on this All Saints Day and one of your anniversary Sundays. I thank you for all that you did, and I presume continue to do, for the support of the Lutheran Hour, a great cause of bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. And now, the place where I'm earning my paycheck, I thank you and bring you anniversary congratulations from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, which is this year 167 years old. But I guess when you're 150 or whatever, who's counting, right? It was about 40 years ago that one of the professors in St. Louis, a man named Martin Franzmann, preached a sermon in the chapel about the man who went home from church with nothing in his word in his pocket except a word. The man who went home from church with nothing in his pocket except a word. What word are you going to take home from church today? One of the most influential people in my life was a pastor and professor named George Krause, now sainted. I didn't know him all that well, but in the 80s, I attended a pastoral conference where Dr. Krause was the speaker, and he spoke on pastors' personal devotion. Which might surprise you to know that not all pastors have the best devotional life. And Dr. Krause passed around a sheet of paper, and he asked us, if we would, to sign that and make a covenant with him. That's what he called it, a covenant, that we would strive every day to have our own personal devotion. And I signed that back in the 80s, and I can say that I've been fairly faithful to it ever since. Well, several weeks ago, I'm up in the morning, 5 o'clock-ish, and I'm doing my devotion, and I came across these words from Hosea chapter 14. Take words with you. Hosea chapter 14, take words with you. So again, I ask the question, what are the words that you're going to take home from this anniversary service? What are the words you're going to take home from this All Saints Sunday? What words are going to be in your pocket when you go home? I think it was these words by the prophet Hosea are in the context of repentance. Hosea was a prophet who told the people of Israel that they had gotten away from their first love. They were religious, all right. Some of them were extremely religious. They may have known how to hold down a church pew along with the help of gravity. But their religious zeal was not based upon the truth. They believed whatever was in the air those days about God and religion. They had lost their first love. They had forgotten the God who redeemed them out of slavery in Egypt and who made them his people. The God who said, I'm a jealous God. I love you so much. I want you to be exclusively devoted to me. Well, as I say, they forgot that. And they had plenty of religious zeal, but it was not devoted exclusively to the Lord God who had redeemed them. So here comes the prophet, and he tells them to repent. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. Now, with that as background, it was last week, I think, where I'm doing my George Krause thing, 5 o'clock in the morning, cup of coffee, and this time I'm reading a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You may know Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor who was put to death by the Nazis at the end of World War II. And I'm reading in Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, and I had another one of those moments, you know. It's like when I read Hosea and said, take these words with you, I thought immediately about Franzmann's old sermon, and now I'm reading Bonhoeffer, and Bonhoeffer says something to this effect. He said, finally, one extreme thing must be said. If you and I are going to associate with the people of this world on behalf of God, we must consider ourselves individually the worst of sinners. And then he refers to St. Paul. Maybe you remember St. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And Bonhoeffer makes the point that the apostle said he was the chief of sinners when he was a Christian, when he was an apostle. It wasn't just before he became a Christian, before he was converted. As a Christian, as an apostle, Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the chief of sinners. And then Bonhoeffer drives this point right into Dale's head, kind of like the sling, you know, that David slung and he got Goliath at 5 o'clock in the morning, the stone is coming at me. And Bonhoeffer says, he says, if you think that your sins are somehow less serious than somebody else's, you are in eternal danger. Your sins, Dale, have to be considered the worst of all, the most reprehensible. Now, I'm a year away from my 60th birthday. And in those years, I have gotten rather cynical about religious people. You might not think that of a minister, but when it comes to religious people, I'm cynical. The good thing is, for all of you, I can't see into your heart, so maybe that's just my problem, right? So I don't know where you're at, but I do know where I'm at. And when I read that in my devotion from Bonhoeffer, I thought about it and I said, you know I need a Savior. But truth be told, I'm not sure that I need a Savior as much as some of those other people out there. I know I've got my sins. And when I forget that I have my sins, my wife points them out to me. But my sins are not as bad as her sins and those people out there. That's what I was thinking. Now, whether this fits you or not, go ahead, figure it out yourself. But I've got in me this lingering self-righteousness. And the problem with that is that if I have something, you have something in you that you rely upon, if you don't see your whole being in need of redemption, then you're really not taking the grace of God seriously. You are, in some measure, relying upon your own self-righteousness. And before God, any reliance upon self-righteousness wipes you out of the eternal All Saints celebration. It's kind of like those two guys who went to St. John's Church on Sunday morning. And one got up in the pulpit and said, I thank thee, God, that I am not like other people. Like those people out there. I don't do what they do. You remember the story? And then there was another guy in the back where he should have been because he was one of those people out there. And if you remember that parable that Jesus told, you know that the big guy in front, the person who went to church and thought, you know, I need a Savior, but not as much as everybody else. That guy went home. The Bible says he did not go home justified. That is to say, what word did he take home from church that day? It was not a word of peace and forgiveness and approval from God. So what word should we take home from church today? I think it is chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. And again, I can't look into your heart, so you're going to have to decide if you're going to go home saying, you know, I really am the chief of sinners, and my sins are as bad as those people out there. I have to commend you, whoever is responsible for your anniversary theme, because it's one the chief of sinners need to keep in front of us all the time. Our anchor, our foundation, is Jesus Christ. You have on the cover of your bulletin Martin Luther's seal. You just recited Did any of you recite that? On Friday, we do the same thing at the seminary chapel. Because, I mean, the truth be told, after you get out of confirmation class, you forget a lot of your memory work. So we make sure that the students have to recite every Friday in chapel a part of the catechism. And one day when I was having chapel, I just automatically said, let us now recite whatever it was. And a little snicker went through the crowd. I said, you guys are going to be pastors and you can't recite this stuff? Okay, but you're lay folk. That's okay. So anyway, get back to the game here, Dale. You know, we don't want to have a losing season all the way through. Martin Luther saw himself as a chief of sinners. And of all the things that have been learned in confirmation class here through 150 years, I think probably the most important one is this explanation of the second article written by that chief of sinners who lived so long ago. To rehearse it with you, I believe, Luther says, that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. I believe. God holds you. And I don't mean y'all. I mean you. Fill in your name. God holds you responsible for what you believe. You're responsible. Dale is responsible for what we believe. Now that immediately creates a problem, since the chief of sinners can't do much about it except to say that I am chief of sinners. But the point at this juncture of the sermon is God holds you, fill in your name, responsible for what you believe. And Luther says of himself, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. Meaning, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is God. Strong. Has to be if he's going to break the power of sin and death and sin in our lives. Only God could do that, but he's also a true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He knows what it's like. He associated with hurting, suffering people. He associated with people who were self-righteous Pharisees, like me. Can't look into your heart. Lord Jesus understands this. What a wonderful combination of God and a man who feels for other people. And Luther says, he's my Lord, my Lord. You know, the chief of sinners who's been drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ says, in him we live and move and have our being. And our goal, to quote Deuteronomy, is to love our God and the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our might. And then Luther talks about this chief of sinners thing. Who has redeemed me, he said, a lost and condemned creature. Those are very hard words for religious people to swallow. But we talked about him, and I suspect you understand it. Redeem me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver or CDs or bank accounts or SUVs or money markets or a nice new home in a nice new subdivision or with family life or with health or with all those other wonderful things. They are not to be despised. But hey, folks, let's put it in perspective. That stuff is here today, gone tomorrow, and none of it redeems you. He redeemed you with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own. That's Luther talking. Luther wanted to belong to Jesus Christ more than anything. He wanted Jesus Christ to be his foundation, his anchor. And as I watch life today, I see people, oh, they want to belong. They want to belong. When we did a television show for Lutheran Hour Ministries, we got to interview a number of pretty famous people. And one of the things that came through all the time was, despite all their fame and celebrity, they didn't feel like they had a whole heart until they were led to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That I may be in his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him, serve him. Why in the world are you still here? I mean, why didn't God, you ever think about this? Get baptized in this font, or maybe in the old church, you get baptized. Why didn't God do the Starship Enterprise thing and zap you right up to heaven? I mean, who wants to come to All Saints Sunday for 60 years? Why don't you just get zapped right up there to the All Saints celebration? You ever think about that? And Luther's answer is, in his commentary on 1 Peter, because God is leaving you here to do good works. Chief of sinners, do good works. That's why we're here. We're not saved by that, of course. But I'll tell you, when you know you're the chief of sinners and somebody has saved you, wow, what a life of good works you're going to be doing in your church, in your community, in the whole world. Serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. I mean, there we're talking about heaven. Everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. There we're talking not about an All Saints Sunday, but about an All Saints eternity. And then this great line. You remember it. Even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. I mean, he's alive. You should see these seminary students preach their sermons. And I guess this is why they're students. They preach the sermon, and the mean old professor says, well, that was nice, and that was nice, but you know what you did? You left Jesus dead. I mean, you talk so much about how he died for our sins, which is true, but if I were a visitor to church and heard the sermon, I would have to conclude that he's still dead. Get him out of the tomb. He's alive. Even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly not the end of the sermon, but it was almost, almost. So the question is, what word do you take home from church today? Two men went to St. John's temple to pray. One of them said, I thank thee, God, da-da-da. But it was the other one that went home with a word not only in his pocket, but in his heart. The word that he took home and that took him to eternity. His chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lives that I may never die. As a branch is to the vine, I am his, and he is mine. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.